Who am I that Christ should be the sacrificial lamb, the gift to save the Father gave? Who is the great I am? The great I am gave, who am I, the chance that I might live. It came because the great I am is able to forgive. When who am I accepted Christ, I found the reason why. I found the way, the truth, and life. He died for who am I. I can't recall when Jesus came, nor felt my faith increase. I only found along the way the Lord had took a piece. He took a little now and then, as Christ prepared the way. And like the ivy on the wall, I grew from day to day. It wasn't a Damascus road when Jesus won my heart. My life he just dismantled, each piece he set apart. Christ took my life in pieces. He set this sinner free. When Jesus took the final piece, the Lord had all of me. You seem to know it, don't you? When the Lord has got every piece of you. I heard a sermon on love, and I found out there was eros, storge, philio, and agape. And the Lord is telling us the difference between the four. There are four different kinds of love, but we use only three. Eros, storge, and philio. Yet none can set us free. Eros is the love of flesh between a man and wife. Today so many go astray, which seems a part of life. Storge is affection, a love for anything. Things that we desire most is all this love can bring. Filio, a closer love for a father or a mother. A love for friends and family, the love for one another. Agape is the love of God, unconditional from above. Jesus used it when he kissed this guilty world in love. When Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter said, "I love you, Lord." His words were meant to please. Peter's words were storge, a love that one can bend, a love that's just affection. He saw Jesus as a friend. When Jesus asked a second time, his heart began to show a closer love for Jesus, in Greek called philio. Philio, the closer love for the father or a mother, a love in which the Lord commands that we love one another. A third time he asked Peter, "Do you love me once again?" The third time this hurt Peter with discomfort and some pain. The love that Jesus wanted was agape from above. That's why he asked the final time for his unconditional love. A love that only God will use. A love that runs so deep. That's why he's asking Peter for this love to feed his sheep. I heard this one when I was in America. And he was telling the congregation that among you are takers, there's keepers, there's providers. But he said, they all make up the body of the church. So when I go back, the Lord gave me united. United we conquer, divided we fall. United in Christ is the Christian's call. Working together as one for the Lord. Arguments rising, no one can afford. It's all about attitude, grumble and sleaze. The trend ever mounting, to do as we please. There's takers and keepers, providers who search. They make up the body, and it's known as the church. The takers are people whose walk will confirm, providing for no one. They show no concern. The keepers are faithful to God, they are his. They just like their churches, the way that it is. Providers are thoughtful, they come in a range, caring for others, accepting the change. Problems arising, we all need to share, to find a solution with kindness and care. That goes for all churches, the large and the small. United we conquer, divided we fall. Amen.
We always have a great time when we come amongst you. It's like a second home to us, isn't it, Terry? And it's wonderful to hear what's going on here, the fact that we've had two baptisms. Hallelujah, it's great, isn't it? Let's ask the Lord for more. We were praying before we came out and saying about, come on, Lord, keep the baptisms coming. Keep them coming for your glory, for his glory. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Romans 14, Romans 14, verses 17 to 18. That's Romans 14, verses 17 to 18. Romans 14, 17 to 18. Romans 14, verses 17 to 18. This is what it says in the Lord's word. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you. And dear Lord, we come before you tonight to ask, give us this day our daily bread, that you would provide to us a message and an understanding, food, sustenance, dear Lord, to enable us to survive this coming week, to enable us to get through whatever this week brings us, to enable us, dear Lord, to come closer to you, to enable us, dear Lord, to have a hunger for the Lord, to say, it's not enough, Lord. I am with you more in my life. Speak to our hearts and souls and minds tonight, dear Lord, that you might lift us up so that we would glorify your name in the power of the Holy Spirit for what Christ, who died for us, would enable us. We ask this in his name, and God's people said. Amen. I wonder how you're living your life. As I said, we were talking in the little, well, we're having a bit of prayer there, praying to the Lord. And I don't know about you. I came to the Lord when I was 36, which is 20 years ago now. So you'd all know my age. 20 years ago, when I went to Griffithstown Baptist Church, I went through baptismal class and I was dunked under the water and the Lord entered my life. And I felt since that time, he's always had me by the back of the neck, and I look back at my life and see all the wasted time. And I cannot comprehend, I cannot understand why our churches are not full. I cannot understand or comprehend why people aren't flocking to the church, because I know what my life was like before, and I know what my life was when I first started and what my life is like now. I cannot understand how I can ever be separated from Christ ever again. And therefore, I can't understand why people and God is not calling people to come to church, because to be amongst his people. It took me 3 goes to get into Griffithstown because they had an old sign up and it had church service, morning, and the number 1. So I went at 10 o'clock and the door was shut. I went at, I know it said morning, but I went then at 1 o'clock and the door was still shut. So I had a 3rd go at 11 o'clock and they were open. So it took me three goes. They got a new sign now, so it's okay. It took me 3 goes. And since that time, I mean, without going, I would have never met Terry. And I would never be involved in his ministry. I would have never met you. So being with God is a great thing to do. And I bring this message today for I have great concern. I go to the Lord. I can't understand, especially seeing our young people who are lost and bereft of anything. For this world offers them nothing. And the teaching they get in school, of course, is nonsense because they get every religion. And if you're given a buffet, what can satisfy you? If you're given a proper meal, then you are satisfied, aren't you? Satisfied. And you are the people of power. You are the people of grace. You are the people who have the knowledge and understanding, especially if you've been with Christ for a while, that you can change people's lives by what you say, by what you understand, by what you can pass into people's lives. For you have wisdom. For you can call upon the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, in this situation, help me. Lord, in this situation that this person's in, give me the words of wisdom that I can say, that I might have the power of the Spirit in my life at that particular time. And then you'll see a life transformed. And then there'll be joy in your life. For you see, the definition of joy is living a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And is your life like that? Do you have that joy? Do you have that power in your life? Soon after I came to Griffithstown and was baptized, because of what I did in my previous life, if you like, I was terrified about taking communion. I couldn't take communion. We're going to share it tonight here. It's fantastic, isn't it? But I couldn't take it because of what I did in my past. And I told my pastor, and the pastor said, well, come up. To me, some of you may know him, it's the Reverend Clive Knight, and his son, Sam Knight, who's now a pastor in, is it, Texas, in America, prayed over me. And really, that was the first time that I felt the force of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he broke down those walls, he broke down that barrier about that fear that was inside of me regarding communion, and then I could partake. The fear had gone. And you have this capability to pray with other people, that if they have a fear, if they have an issue, if they have a problem, then you as individuals and as a church, you can pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would come, for you have the very ear of God. You are people of power, people of greatness, not because of yourselves, but because of Christ. I went on then to become a deacon in that church, and I know some of you laughed about Terry's little poem, Abroad. It's funny, I once spent 3 sessions in deacons' meetings when they were talking about fire extinguishers. So he must have talked about it for about 10 hours. Fire extinguishers, can you believe it? But where's the concern? Where's the fear for those lost souls that surround this place? Where's the fear and concern, because we didn't have any in Griffithstown, about those who were lost, those who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were like me before knowing Christ, are heading for damnation, heading for a place which is terrible. We're currently going through a Bible study together called Eternities, given by John Bevere. And he talks about hell. And he talks about people's experiences of hell and what they've gone through, because some people have died but they've been brought back. And if we knew about hell and what expects and waits us for hell, we'd be terrified of the fact that the people outside, why on earth would we ever want them to go there? That's why Christ came. That's why Christ paid the price that no one else could pay, so that his children might come back to him and be filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed, because his people should be active and involved. For it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Are you? Do you have that joy and that peace and power in the Holy Spirit? Are you pleasing to God? Is God frustrated with you? Is he saying, oh, I wish they would do this. I wish they would pray to me regarding that. I wish they would open their eyes, their ears, so that I could speak to them directly and move them and encourage them and uplift them and lift them up from their own fear. From the little that I know of you, of the people, little that I've heard about some of your testimony that you've given me. You should be a successful people. This world should be afraid of you because of the prayers that you should be able to take before the Lord and see the place that you live and worship in transformed. I wonder if you're aware of that. I wonder if you have the courage, I wonder if you have the desire to reach out to that, to see this place, to see this church, to see this area transformed because God inhabits his people who love him, who have joy with him in the power of the Holy Spirit. For do you serve Christ or do you serve your own ambitions? If I were to ask you, what is your life like? Has it really been the life that you really wanted or should be? I know as I look back on my life, it's been okay. Nothing really is as with anyone else. I've gone through times of sadness, but times of happiness also. But I've always felt it wanting. I've always felt a struggle. And it's only since coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to start to try and get my life in fulfillment and into the will of God, that my life now feels fulfilled. Does your life feel fulfilled? Are you achieving what you desire? Have you gone to the Lord and said to the Lord, Lord, provide me with the power of the Holy Spirit, transform my life so therefore I can have an impact on the world and live in your will so that I would be able to do what you have placed me upon this earth to do. So that I could reach out, sorry, I'm going to use an example here, and touch and heal, give words of encouragement, bless those who are around me, lift those who are broken and downtrodden, give words of encouragement rather than words of destruction, which the world is so willing to give. As I said, I've been a deacon of a church, I've been a lay pastor of the church, and we got so sometimes caught up in ourselves. And as we look back on the minutes that we produce, some of the things and the decisions that we make, we're never honoring to God, we're never blessing of God. At times, looking back on some of the decisions I made, especially as a lay pastor, I thought, what on earth were we discussing? Why on earth were we trying to destroy somebody's life from the decisions that we were making? And I regret those things bitterly. Thankfully, the Lord caught us in many of those decisions and pulled us back. But we can get so caught up in the world, for we act out what the world expects us to act out. For we forget. For we should be in the kingdom of God. And it's not a matter of what we do and what we say, but rather it's of righteousness, making the right decisions. It should be one of peace and joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. For anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God, which is given to us by Christ, we're supposed to experience that in our lives. If you are saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have repented and you've made Jesus Lord, you've said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, make me yours. Have you said that to him? Have you really embraced that? Then if you've gone through baptism And have you received the power of the Holy Spirit? And then are you able to say, I've been set free by him? Oh, one person perhaps has here tonight. One person. You see, Christ came to set you free. Perhaps you didn't hear what I've said, perhaps. You have been set free. We have been set free by a God who came into this world and decided to sacrifice himself because he said, I don't want Terry to go to hell. Rather, I want to grasp him, lift him out of that destination and make him my man and enable him to be with me for all eternity. If we had a glimpse of hell, if we had an understanding of hell, we would realize our position in Christ. And we would shout hallelujah for all time. For remember, we can when we're in heaven, we'll be able to look at hell. And we'll be able to see those people suffering. Do you have any regrets? Are you able to say with words, yes, Lord, I did everything you wanted me to while I was upon this earth. And that, dear Lord, I grasped as many people as I could grasp. I told them about you and the fact of where their destination would be. Yes, many people ridiculed me. Yes, many thought that I was strange and weird. Many people didn't understand. But you've saved me. You rescued me. You enabled me. And I'm in heaven with you for all eternity. Loved ones of God, you have a capability to live a life. You may say, well, I'm too old for that. But no, you still have a capability to live a life which is extraordinary. A life which isn't crushed. You don't have to come under the curse of the old covenant. Many people enjoy the Old Covenant. Many people enjoy the Old Testament. Many people take its laws and the way we live within those laws. They can cope with it much better than the New Covenant which Christ has given us. Because Christ has given us freedom. Christ has given us, through his sacrifice, the freedom of not being under the new covenant. The issue that we have as churches and many times as institutions is that we love the old covenant because of its rules and regulations. We can beat ourselves up when we don't meet those regulations. We can then berate ourselves. But Christ came to give us freedom. Christ came so that we might be liberated. But do you live in a liberated life? Do you desire to have such a life as this? Are you wanting a life that's free? Are you seeking it? Do you have a passion for the Holy Spirit, for God to be in your life, so that you are agents of mercy and grace and power, for the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and you're able to reach out to God and say, Lord, have an impact upon those whom we know that you love. This world is full of fear. Few know the liberation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Few have the power of God in their life. As our reading instructs, that we should have a life that's full of joy, full of peace, full of righteousness. Do you desire that? Do you dare embrace that? Do you have the courage to seek it? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here. I wonder, dear Lord, if we really understand the potential that you have placed inside of us. But I would ask for each individual here tonight, dear Lord, that you would give them a glimpse of that potential, that they would understand and know that potential, that they would have a desire for that potential, that they would understand their freedom in Christ within that potential. They would know the power of the Holy Spirit in greater and greater abundance in that potential, that they would know the joy of life within that potential, that, dear Lord, and that you would take these people, and that, dear Lord, they would become a force to be reckoned with. For the Lord Jesus Christ is with them, and if God is with us, then what can stand before us? Dear Lord, let this church be successful. Enable them to take the darkness of this world and pour your light into it. And so people's lives would be transformed. And God would walk these streets. Rather than policemen, rather than social workers, rather than people really who don't help anyone but pretend to, that people will then be able to grasp you and be saved. And will be saved from an eternity always cut off from you. For, dear Lord, when we are in heaven, we do not desire to have regrets, but rather to say, Lord, look at all this gold and silver I have for you. Look at all this gold and silver you helped me dig out of the ground for you. And because of that, dear Lord, we became a mighty army, a mighty nation of people who have been saved. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have chosen us. Spend a few moments of quiet with the Lord, and that he might minister to you so that he can bless you in a new and purposeful way. Dear Lord, for being amongst us. I pray for every family that is here, dear Lord. It's promised in your word, dear Lord, that if we come before you, then you and we love you, and we integrate you into our lives and we form that relationship with you. You promise, dear Lord, in your word, that generation after generation in our family would become to know you. Dear Lord, we claim that tonight. For we don't want our sons and daughters being lost. We don't want their children being lost and the generations to come. Lord, respond to your word and let us give the glory to you. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Let us share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.